The two-hour documentary featured many familiar voices and faces that you may have seen on the nightly news during the Bulger trial last summer. And for the first time since his arrest, we hear the voice of James Whitey Bulger without the benefit of a wiretap or a courtroom plea. It begins with a call to his lawyer, Jay Carney.
Hello?
Hi, Mr. Bulger's on the phone.
All right, please put him through.
Sure.
Thanks for calling. There are a couple of things I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
The first is that you've told me since the very first day I met you that you've never been an informant.
That's correct.
Does that mean you've never been an informant in your entire life?
Never. As a teenager, I took many a beating at the police stations, and I never cracked. As a bank robber, I was captured. I pled guilty to free the girlfriend that I was with, and I got a 20-year prison sentence, first offender.
When the lights came up, the audience applauded politely. But it was a far cry from the thunderous reception Whitey, the USA versus James J. Bulger, received at its premiere this month at the Sundance Film Festival. The Boston audience's hesitant embrace of the film foreshadowed the verbal fireworks that came minutes later during a panel discussion, centered around Bulger's contention that he was not an FBI informant.
The warden wanted to know from me, who's the guard, who's the guard, you son of a bitch, you'll talk. I told him I don't know what you're talking about. I spent months in the hole. And a lot of pressure, and naked, and the whole thing ripped up my writing paper, and letters would come in. They'd never given to me. I went through a lot there, and after 4 months for punishment, they sent me to Alcatraz, and that was it. I never cracked.
The question of whether Bulger was an FBI informant is the focus of 14 minutes of the two-hour documentary film. But panelists Dick Lehr and Kevin Cullen, authors of two separate bestsellers about Bulger, said that the film, by focusing on the question at all, tilted the film in Bulger's favor. Director Joe Berlinger disagreed.
I was surprised at the level of dismissiveness to that question, because to me, whether or not he was an informant is central to understanding the Bulger saga.
And he and Cullen continued to debate even after they left the stage.
I put Kevin in the movie saying, you know, so if he was an informant, there still needs to be accountability and questions answered about how he was allowed to operate. And if he wasn't an informant, then it's a much deeper conspiracy that we should have answers to. So for Carmen Ortiz to stand on the courthouse steps and say it's done, to me it's not done. And to me the question of his informancy is not a sideshow.
Shelley and I were certainly not dismissive about the claims that he was an informant. We investigated thoroughly and we came up with incredible evidence that he was an informant going as far back as 1956. The reality is there's a lot of corroborative evidence that he was an informant. The only evidence, and I wouldn't call it evidence, I would call it Whitey says he was an informant. That's, to me, not very persuasive.
Kevin Cullen's co-author, Shelley Murphy, shares his concerns, but she praised aspects of the documentary.
I thought they did a really good job by the victims. I thought that that it was very compelling to see Steve Rakes, Patricia Donahue, Steve Davis. I thought it was very, very compelling.
Murphy's comments were echoed by Pat Donahue, Michael Donahue's widow, an innocent man who agreed to give a friend a ride home in May 1982, but he did not know his friend was being stalked by Bulger.
I bet it was good. It was very good.
Yeah, and why did you think it was good?
Because it kind of covered everything, and I think that they explained a lot that people probably didn't really know. They really broke it down and explained everything that was, you know, right from the beginning to the end. It was understandable. People could understand what was going on.
At another point during the night, moderator, journalist David Boeri, carefully pivoted between former Bulger prosecutor Brian Kelly and Sean Donahue, the son of Bulger victim Michael Donahue. Donahue wanted to know why prosecutors over the course of the trial last summer had not arrested Bulger associate Pat Nee, named by witnesses as the trigger man in the double murder on the waterfront.
Look,
Sean.
Hey.
You know my father's not the only one he murdered. In a per...
In a per-
yeah, but- job,
look, in a-
Understand. Sean.
Let me finish.
Thank you.
Let me finish.
Sean, let Brian, Sean, let Brian
finish,
address
right?
this, please.
I mean, look, in a perfect world, I agree with you. Take him out and hang him. But that's not our system, okay? We have rules. We have judges. We got lawyers. And if the lawyer goes to sidebar and says he has a Fifth Amendment privilege.
For all the disagreements, the filmmaker and many of the panelists expressed a common hope over the course of the night that the documentary will help press the Justice Department to give a fuller account for why James Whitey Bulger was able to carry out murders, drug dealing, and extortion for many years under the noses of the FBI. It was the one element in the film on which there seemed to be no disagreement. Whitey, the USA vs. James J. Bulger, will be released in theaters this winter and later on CNN. At the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline, Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.